1 John chapter 3. If you're going to be using the Pew Bibles this evening, you can find that on page 1303. First John chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at the first three verses. Please give your attention now to the reading of God's Word. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this word this evening. And we come to You as eager children, ready to hear from You. We ask that You would remove distractions from our minds, soften our hearts so that this word might fall on good soil. Allow us to receive it in faith and love, lay it up in our hearts and be ready to practice it in our lives, Lord, as we go forth from Your house. Lord, we ask this in faith and in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I have the privilege of often coming home after a long day of work and being greeted by my enthusiastic 2-year-old son. And what I do is before I come in through the door, I open the little mail slot in my front door and I call out to my son, Wade. And if he's awake and if he's in earshot, I hear his little voice call back, Daddy, Daddy. And then I hear the pitter-patter of his feet as he runs to the door. And I open the door and there's always this smiling face. And he wants me to pick him up and give him a hug. He's excited to see me. He wants to play trucks with me. He wants to sit on my lap and tell me about his day. And he knows my voice. He knows that he's my son. He knows that I'm his father. Well, tonight we have the opportunity to consider the fact that we have a father. We are children of the Father. Do you know your father? Do you know that you are a child the Father? Do you know His voice? Are you excited to see Him? Do you run to meet with Him? Well, tonight we have the opportunity to be reminded of who we are in Christ and whose we are. You are a child of the Father if you trust in His Son. You're a child of the Father. You're a member of His household, a citizen of heaven. And I want you to get a hold of that fact, of that reality, of that identity. Let it dominate your thinking. Let it dominate your behavior. Let your entire life be lived out of that framework of knowing that you are a child of the Father. So the message from our text, the message from your Father this evening is rather simple and clear for those of you who are in Christ. You are a beloved child of the Father. You are a beloved child of the Father, and so now live as one of His children. You're a beloved child of the Father, now live as His children. Well, let's look back at our text this evening. Look at verse 1 again. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The first thing John wants you to do this evening is to see the love of your Father. John is directing your gaze to something great. He says, see, behold, take note of what kind of love the Father has given you. Some of your translations might say, how great a love, or what manner of love. And these are decent translations, but really the word in the original language would translate this way. See from what country the love is from. That might sound like a strange phrase to us, but John really lacks words to describe this great love. It's so amazing. It's almost foreign. It's out of his country. It's out of his world. So it's almost like John is saying, see the out of this world love that the Father has given to you. And notice John says that this love is given. It's not see the love that you've earned, that you've achieved. See the love that is given. This is a free gift, this adopting love. It's undeserved. We don't do anything to deserve this. We were once aliens and strangers from God, children of the devil. But we were brought near by his adopting out of this world love. I don't know if any of you have ever been to Yellowstone National Park, but one of the things that happens there on a good day is that as you're driving along, you'll see tourists pull off to the side. And you'll see them pointing out their windows and getting out their binoculars and their cameras. And if you pull in behind them, oftentimes they'll call out to you, say, there's a grizzly bear out there, or there's a bald eagle, or an elk. And they're directing your gaze to something that's not common, that's from a different country. We don't see those around here. And they're directing your gaze to something magnificent. Well, John is doing something similar. He's calling us, he's pulling us aside, saying, slow down. You've got to see this. Can you see this otherworldly love of the Father for you? So I ask you this evening, do you see this love? Have you seen this love? Do you realize that in all eternity, you are loved, you are chosen in Christ? God sent his Son to be rejected, to be punished in your behalf in order to make you one of his sons. And so pull over tonight. Get out your binoculars. Study this love. Be amazed by it. You know, this is not old news to John. John has been in the Lord for a long time, but he's still amazed by this love. I don't know where all of you are at. Some of you have been in the Lord for many, many years, and some of you maybe not that long. But each one of us need to see this love and take it in and savor it. I'm afraid that often we are more fascinated by the things of this world, the things of our own country, that something from a different country doesn't even interest us. William Perkins, a Puritan, said of this text, at earthly preferments, men will stand amazed. But seldom shall you find a man that is ravished with joy in this, that he is a child of God. This should not be the case. But too often, I'm afraid that it is. We should be full of joy and wonder as we see this love of the Father, making us his children, this otherworldly love, not from our own country, but through the eyes of faith, we are able to behold it. And so see it, brothers and sisters. Look at it, take it in, taste it, and savor it. And the amazing thing is, you, as a child of God, are the object of this great and otherworldly love. And because of this freely given love, you are made a child of God. You are a child of God. Look again at verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. You are a child of God, people of God. God identifies himself with you as your Father. He's in a relationship with you. You are his child. He's not ashamed to call you His children, but He claims you. He adopts you. You can think of a scene at a playground where there's this rowdy child who's misbehaving and causing havoc. And the parents are looking at each other and thinking, whose child is that? Wow, I'd be ashamed if that was my child. But then God comes in the scene and he claims that child. He says, that's mine. I'm His father. He's not ashamed to adopt us sinners. And then notice how John doesn't just say that we are called His children. We're not just children in name only. We are, in fact, His children. He says, and so we are. Literally, it's, and we are. You see, we've been fundamentally changed in our nature. We are a completely different person. Each of us were born as creatures of God, made by God in His image. But by nature, we were sons and daughters of Adam. By nature, objects of wrath, sinners, children of the devil, children of the evil one. If you look down at verse 10, John says that he compares children of God with children of the devil. And that's what we were, children of the devil. Apart from the Father's love, apart from grace, that's what we were. But we are adopted as a true child of God. So tonight, people of God, I encourage you, I challenge you to think about and to know who you are. You are a child of God. If you are in Christ, loved by the Father, and you believe in His Son, if you have been born again, then you are a child of God. God is your Father, and this is your chief identity. You're not first and foremost a plumber or a professor, a student, a wife, a mother. You're first and foremost a child of God. You belong to the Creator of the universe, the all-powerful God. You can go home tonight. You can fold your hands and bow your head and say to God, my Father in heaven, my Father, you're adopted by the God of the universe. And this is your chief identity. You're counted in the number of His chosen people. His name has been placed on you. You're given all the privileges of His sons. You're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You're a member of His household. This is an amazing gift. What a gift. Well, there's also a warning here. If you're not a child of God, that doesn't mean you're not a child. You are a child of someone. There is no middle ground. If you're not a child of God, trusting in Christ, then you are a child of the evil one. God does not identify with you as your father, but instead He is your judge. This is the case tonight, or you are out of relationship with God as your Father, that I would call you to repent. Turn to Him, trust in Him, ask Him to be your Father and Savior through His Son, and come to Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 6, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Come to Christ. Those of you who are in Christ, those of you who yet have to come to Christ, if you do come to Christ, if you believe in Him, then you can know who you are before God. You are a child of God. But as John goes on to explain, the world will not recognize that. You belong to God, but because of that, you will not belong to this world. As a child of God, the world will not know you. Look again at verse 1, the second half of verse 1. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. that did not know him. John assumes that the world is not going to know you as a child of the Father. You are so fundamentally different. You are a new creation. And you're not going to be recognized as a child of the Father. You'll be seen as a fool, as crazy. You see, those who don't have the eyes of faith cannot see spiritual reality. They cannot see God as your Father. They can't see that you are a child of God. Why is that? Why do they not know you? Why does the world not know you? Well, if you read in John's Gospel, he says in the prologue in chapter 1, verse 10, he says this about Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Children of God, the world will not know you because it did not know your elder brother, Christ. If you look down to verse 13 of this chapter, chapter 3, John says, "Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you." The world's not only not going to know you, but it's going to hate you as a child of the Father. You are fundamentally different. You've been loved by a foreign, otherworldly love that this world doesn't recognize. Now you are from another world. You are now a stranger, an alien on this earth, a citizen of heaven. You are from a different family now. You have a different father. And your new family ties are deeper than anything in this world. And so recognize that as children of the Father, the world is not going to know you. And you need to be aware of this. You need to expect this. And I wonder if some of you feel this with your neighbors and coworkers. They don't understand you as a Christian, as a child of God. They seem confused by you. They don't know you. They don't know what makes you tick. Of course, we are all humans. We're all made in the image of God, and we might have a similar job, similar hobbies, interests with people in the world. But when it comes to who we fundamentally are, at the spiritual level, at the core, we are different. We are children of God, and the world simply does not get that. But John warned us. John told us that this would be the case, and it should be the case. If you are a child of God, then you should feel this. They did not know Christ, so they will not know you. But take comfort that though the world does not know you, that is a reflection that you are in fact a child of God, that you are born again, that you are children of the Father. But there's also a challenge here, and that is if you are too comfortable with the world, if you don't stand out because of who you are in Christ as a child of the Father, if the world does know you, then you need to examine your life, examine your heart, and ask yourself, am I truly a child of the Father? Am I truly a child of the Father? John gave a warning in chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. This world is passing away. And this world should not know you because you are a child of God. Well, even though the world will not know you, you know you and you know who you are. And you can know where you are going. And you can be comforted by the prospect of what is to come. Because as John goes on to tell us, you have a glorious future. You have a glorious future. Look again at verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. Well, John here again affirms that even now we are, in fact, children of God. Even if the world doesn't know us, doesn't recognize us, we are children of God. That's our status now. But then he turns to what we will be. And John says it's not yet appeared. We don't exactly know yet what we will be. But it's going to be glorious. It's like John is saying, if you think it's good now as a child of the Father, just wait. And he goes on to explain that we're going to be like Christ. We see him as he is. But there's a sense of anticipation here. We don't fully understand what is going to be like when Christ returns. There is an element of mystery, which just adds to the anticipation and the excitement. If you are already the greatly loved children of the Father, could it get any better? Yes, it is going to get better. But how much better and exactly what that will look like is not yet appeared. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, that there is an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison in store for us. It's not yet appeared how glorious that'll be and what exactly it'll be. But I wonder if you look forward to this. Do you long to know what you're going to be like? What the future will hold as a child of God in glory? You are a child of God now, but are you excited about what you will be? You have a glorious future. Well, John tells us that all of what we will be has not yet appeared, but he says there are a few things we can be certain about. He goes on to tell us that if you are a child of God, you shall be like Christ, seeing him as he is. You are going to be like Christ. Look at verse 2 again. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And he is Christ. John is talking about Christ in his second coming. And so when Christ comes again, John says, we will be like him. This is not like him in his deity, in his glory that he has in the Godhead or his power and authority. But we're going to be like him in that we will be sinless. We will be perfected. We'll be clothed in righteousness in a glorified, resurrected body like his. Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. We are going to have everlasting, perfect, sinless bodies. For we will see him as he is, in his glorified and risen body. Now we see through the eyes of faith. Now we see through the Word. But then we shall see in full with our own eyes. Paul says, now we see as through a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Are you looking forward to that day? That at that great day, you're going to see your risen Savior. And your eyes will lock with his. And you will be able to see him in all his glory. And he's going to wipe away every tear from your eyes. You will be able to behold his glory, his purity, his compassion, his love, his justice, his holiness. And Jesus said that he is longing for this day. He prayed to the Father in John 17, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me. Are you looking forward to this day as Jesus is? As you are still in this life, facing trials, struggling with your sin and pain, facing tears, take heart, because this day is coming. He is coming again. And when He appears, you will be made perfect. You'll be without sin. You will have a new resurrected body that shall never fade. He's coming. You're going to be made like Him. He's going to wipe every tear from your eyes. Your struggle with sin will be done. What a glorious future. John wants this to be your hope. He wants you to know of your glorious future and your inheritance as a child of God. He wants it to make an impact in your life now. He wants you to live as a child now. And so finally, He calls you to purify yourself. Purify yourself as Christ is pure. Look at verse 3. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Children of God, in light of who you are, in light of who you belong to and where you're going, the fact that Christ is coming, that He's going to make you like Himself, you are called to purify yourself. You are called to live as if you were expecting Him to show up at any moment. You were to seek to purify yourself as He is pure. You must seek to conform your life to Him. And this is really where we are called to live out the reality of our identities as children of the Father. Purify yourselves as He is pure. But what exactly does it mean to purify ourselves, to cleanse ourselves? Of course, only the blood of Christ purifies us of our sins. But what does John mean by purify yourself? Well, we know that we are called in light of the fact that we have been purified, in light of the fact that we have been adopted and made His children, to live as His children, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, to obey Him in love and thankfulness, to seek to be conformed to His image. It means that we are to no longer live like this world, like children of the evil one. We are to rid ourselves of sin, flee from them, put them to death, throw off all those sins, all that filth and impurity that easily entangles us, so that we can run the race as His children. You are to act like a child of God. You are to ask yourself, what would please my Heavenly Father? How can I be more like His Son? What are the rules of His household? They're not a burden. They're a delight. They bring freedom. If you think about a bride as she anticipates her wedding day, what is she doing? She's purifying herself. She's getting ready. She's becoming spotless, giving a bunch of time and energy to getting her hair just right and her nails and the dress and everything. She wants to be ready for that day when her bridegroom will appear. We are the children of God, but we are also the bride of Christ. And so we should be purifying ourselves, getting ready for Him to appear. And that day when He will fully make us like Himself. Well, I trust that this evening you've been able to get a small glimpse from our text of who you are. Those of you who are in Christ, you are beloved children of the Father. And you're called now to live as His children. And as you go through life, the remainder of this life as children, loved with an otherworldly love, I want you to picture yourself. I want you to picture your life as a child of God, as walking down a narrow, straight path. But you're not walking alone, because the Father is walking with you. He's holding your right hand. He's holding you in His everlasting arms. Like we sang about earlier, He's got His wings over you. And as you walk with your Father, as a beloved child, He's taking you to His country. He's taking you to that celestial city. There are rooms there that He is preparing for you. And no one can snatch you out of His hands. And as you walk, know that you are His. Listen to Him. Know that you belong to Him. Bring your needs to Him. Converse with Him. Lean on Him. Walk with Him. Take comfort in Him. And keep your eyes fixed on the goal, that glorious future that is to come. Don't let yourself be tempted to pull away like a foolish child, to go down some dark alley back to your old father, to his house of sin. When we do that, though, expect that the Father will bring us back, that He'll discipline you in love and say, My child, you're far too precious for me to let you go. I gave my only son for you. I'm going to make you like him someday. So tonight, people of God, know that you are a child of God. Look up to your Father. Walk with him. Let him guide you. You are beloved children of the Father. And as you await your glorious future, that glorious inheritance as His children, live with joy, delight in your Father, and live as His children now for His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pause and stand amazed that we can speak those words to you, Father, that we can come before you as your children. And Lord, our eyes are weak, but we have caught a glimpse of the otherworldly love that you've freely given to us. And you've made us your children. You've called us your children now, even though we still struggle with sin. Lord, would you help us to see who we are, to find our chief identity in you as our Father. Lord, we pray that we would run to Christ because He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. Lord, would you be so gracious to hold us by your right hand, shelter us under your wings, and help us to live as your children now, purifying ourselves as Christ is pure, as we eagerly await for Christ to come. And we would ask that you would come quickly, Lord Jesus. We pray this all in His name. Amen.